First things first, Bible first, always Bible first. Let's keep some things in mind as we get into our time tonight. We are in part two, actually, of a message regarding Islam in our schools. I hope some of you have done some homework since then and looked around a little bit. But the Bible first, the Bible was first, and the Bible's going to be last. It's nothing but the Bible, so help us, God. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, you know this verse, but I just want to bring it up this evening and then just go right into Paul's next thought in chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul says that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That almost sounds like a contradiction. The mystery of godliness is without controversy? What are you talking about? Paul's announcement is this. Without debate, the word means without controversy, is without any formidable argument that can be generated, without any decent argument. Paul says this, whatever he's about to announce, it is bulletproof. Isn't that cool that he announces this? Of course, the Bible says of itself that is written by the Holy Spirit as he used men in that authorship. Now listen to what he goes on to say. The mystery of godliness. The word mystery doesn't mean it can't be known. The word in Greek for mystery here is something that has been held in the hand of God as secret until his desire or his timing to reveal it. That's what the Bible says. So Paul says, what I'm about to announce to you is something that has been hidden since the very beginning. And it is what I'm about to announce. It's bulletproof. It's bulletproof. So you can hang your hat on it. Now, tonight you might be here and you might be thinking, well, I don't know. What can be so bulletproof? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, according to the Bible itself, the Word of God says that God was manifested or revealed, made known in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles. Now, wait. God was, number one, manifested in the flesh. You might say, well, maybe that means something other than Jesus. Okay. Justified in the Spirit. That is, whatever he did, it was approved by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus made it clear that the miracles he did by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in fact, said that because they didn't believe, many people did not believe in the miracles that he had done and attributed those miracles to Beelzebub. Remember that? The Pharisees said, you do this by the power of Satan. That's how. And Jesus said, hey, you know what? You can blaspheme my Father all you want, and you can blaspheme me all you want. But when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that is a sin that you will not be forgiven of in this life or in the life to come. Yikes. The Bible says that Jesus Christ in his ministry was justified by the Spirit. He goes on, seen by angels. Remember that word, what that word means, you guys? It's a pretty graphic word. It means angels gawked with wide-eyed and open mouth at his coming into the world. That's tremendous. But he goes on, preached among the Gentiles. Well, the gospel of God, Jesus Christ, has been preached among the Gentiles. And you might say, well, I still don't think it's Jesus, that God was, Jesus was the one manifested in the flesh. See, this is a big deal in Islam. Islam teaches that Jesus cannot be God in the flesh. Well, the latter end of that verse says that he was believed on in the world. That is, the world, those who hear the gospel all around the world, those who receive it, they believe on him. And then here's the clincher. Whoever he is, he was received back up into glory. How do you get away from that? Whoever he was manifested in the flesh among mankind, preached among by the Gentiles, justified by the Spirit, gawked at by angels when he came into the world. And when that was all done, he went back up into glory. There's only one person that fits that bill, and that's only one verse in the Bible that we look at. Paul goes on, the very next verse Paul says is this. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, and the definite article, the faith. Not a faith. The faith. Having given heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared. That is, they've lost their ability to reason. They're fanatical. They can't even think anymore. As Christians, we believe our God's the creator, That means inside your skull is some gray matter. He made it. That means we're supposed to use it. Christians are never supposed to check their brains at the door before they come into a church. It's very important. And he says here that their conscience, having been seared with a hot iron. I'm pretty sure that none of us, at least I hope not, we don't know what that feels like to be branded with a hot iron. But any of you have a gnarly scar? That wicked scar, if it's a big enough, ugly enough scar, can you feel anything when you rub that scar? It's pretty dead. Can you imagine having your conscience seared with a hot iron? Whoever these people are, they are fanatical and have lost their way, and it's in the last days, and they'll depart from the faith that is not adhering to the faith. Whatever this faith is, it precedes what follows it. This is the Christian faith. Christian faith, you say, well, when did that come about? When Jesus came into the world? Not really. It goes all the way back, technically, as Christians. We are so rich because our faith goes all the way back to the very creation in Genesis 1:1. That's our God. That's why we have an Old and New Testament. What was revealed in the Old Testament is confirmed and made available in the New. What is mentioned in the Old is fulfilled in the New. I say this humbly and very gratefully that the Lord has called us into a faith that is not a faith, it is the faith. And we cannot boast about that. We just have to give God all the thanks and all the glory. You need to remember that as we go through our evening together here now. Okay, you know the rules. Do I need to repeat the rules? I have to anyway. Sorry, I'm under oath here. You can't record anything. Okay, and I know that some of you have been here before and you've recorded some things and you've made your way back in here tonight. And so we're watching you. Don't record things, will you? Be nice, will you? You can't record. You can't video. We're asking you not to use any cell phones. Don't even pull it out. This is not a service. You know that. It is a church family meeting. And I know that there's some of you that are here tonight that you don't go here. But just so you know, for the record, this is a church family meeting here at Calvary. There are legal reasons why I have to make this announcement. And so we ask you to abide by that. We are going to, I'm going to give you a warning. Pull out a pencil and piece of paper right now. And you're going to want to mark some things down. I'm going to give you some book titles here that you're going to want to read or buy. And we don't have them for sale, by the way, so I'm not pushing anything. But I'll just give you a few, and I'll give you more in the next few weeks. By the way, while I'm getting ready to do this, next Sunday night, I don't know how you could have missed this announcement, but just in case you're out of town or whatever, next Sunday night will be an absolutely amazing Sunday night. God, in his abundance, has put us in contact with some great people that will be coming here not only starting next Sunday night, but we're going to have some people coming in January that it's going to be very, very exciting. We're going to have a lot of it dedicated to Islam. There are some world-renowned experts in Islam that they are checking their calendars to see if they can be here. The weekend will be, the January 11th weekend. One of those guys, do you guys remember seeing in the early on, weeks ago, you saw some gentleman like Robert Spencer? Remember the guy? Do you remember seeing Waleed Shubat? Waleed Shubat will be with us. We are going to have Brigitte Gabriel will be back in January. It is going to be a major conference. Please pray about that because as we assemble that, these people are speaking all over the world, literally, and some of them are speaking before Congress in the Parliament. And so it's a very, very amazing thing, very tough thing. I was talking Friday afternoon at length with Chuck Missler. He's going to do everything possible to help put some of these things together. We are going to see some people come and speak to us who have come out of Islam. They were lifelong Muslims who have come out and come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are praying on having Avi Lipkin, who's a friend of Chuck Missler's, who is a tremendous rabbi, who, by the way, is forming a political party currently in Israel and will run for prime minister. This is going to be a tremendous thing. This guy, he's Jewish, but he's an expert on Islam. His wife is a spy for the Mossad. And that's quite an interesting thing right then and there, because she is in all the Arab countries. And it's quite an amazing world. She has a totally different name. You don't know who she is. Maybe he travels so much and she does. Maybe they don't know who each other might be. But her information is quite amazing. She's very much responsible for the information that you might see at the website memri.org. Memri.org is Fox News and CNN's chief source of Middle East news. It's amazing. memri.org. So keep that in mind. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, Brigitte Gabriel will be here. She's the author of Because They Hate. We're encouraging you to come on out. People are asking, can I invite my friends to come? You asked me at the door and you asked me all day today at service. The answer is yes. Next Sunday night, all the rules are off. You can come, you can record. I think her publisher will allow that, but it's not for any insurance or legal reasons on our part. She will be here. She'll have we understand that either Borders or Barnes & Noble's will be hosting a book signing because of her book. Does anybody know if that's here? Robin, do you know if that's here? It will. Okay, yeah, that's right. It will either be here in the foyer or, weather permitting, out in the courtyard area, Barnes & Noble. So if you see Barnes & Noble people, there's part of a contract arrangement. This is a big deal, you guys. She's normally on CNN, Fox News, Larry King, Glenn Beck. Does anybody watch Glenn Beck? Glenn Beck. Please start watching Glenn Beck. CNN's top-rated now program, and wouldn't you know it, it's a conservative program on CNN. It's their number one rated program. Glenn Beck rocks. He's amazing. And even young kids, any young kids in here, they love getting the news from Glenn Beck. He's a super guy. She's on Glenn Beck quite often, and we recently heard her. It was either on KFI or it was on Rush Limbaugh. She will be here with us next Sunday night. It's an incredible honor. She will be coming from the East Coast here to the Los Angeles area to come and speak with us. God divinely put that together. Her and Robin, my secretary, hit it off and fell in love with each other. And they're all just little phone buddies now. And that's very, very sweet. So she's very excited about coming. And she's coming here just to tell us what's going on. Get her book. You have 1 week. You have 1 week to read her book, Because They Hate. She experienced Islamic aggression in Lebanon growing up, and the story of Lebanon. You'll be super educated just of what in the world ever happened to Lebanon. Very, very tremendous. Okay, some things you're going to want to write down for future study. And one of the books that I'm going to encourage you to get, and by the way, you can buy these here. Randall Price left a bunch of them here. Author of The Stones Cry Out, a best-selling book. Randall Price wrote the book, God Stage for the Final Drama, Jerusalem in Prophecy. It has a lot to do with Islam. Jerusalem in Prophecy by Dr. Randall Price. He is the Indiana Jones of Middle Eastern archaeology, Dr. Randall Price. He has spoken here, I think, a couple of three, five times. He's a great guy. What's that? No, this is my book. Jerusalem in Prophecy. Jerusalem in Prophecy by Dr. Randall Price. Listen, highly, highly respected archaeologist. And even by the Muslim world, they respect his work. It's extremely well documented. He's got his master's in Old Testament and Semitic languages, Old Testament studies, and his PhD in Middle East studies. Lives in Texas and Jerusalem. And he is sanctioned and encouraged and promoted by the Israeli Department of Antiquities because of his excellent work. A great book. Boy, this is a powerful book. Bat Yor is a tremendous author. This woman, again, highly, highly respected. And Bat Yor has written a book called Eurabia, the Euro-Arab Axis, the Land of Dimitude. Remember, do you guys remember what Dimitude means? That is, people who have been brought under Islamic rule. And ultimately, it is the advent upon a non-Islamic people of Sharia law. And of course, England right now is battling with that, as Sharia law is going on in England, parallel with the government. The Muslims in England are forming their own parallel government next to the authorized government of the English people. That's pretty radical. If you don't know what I'm talking about, find out. And if you don't get it, we could have that here. Anyway, the book is called Eurabia. Get your hands on it. It's pretty scholarly work, but it's great stuff. She's excellent. I'm going to save this one for last. Okay, Bernard Lewis, write his name down. Anything Bernard Lewis writes, get it. Bernard Lewis is an expert on Islam. He wrote many books. One of them is The Crisis of Islam, Holy War and Unholy Terror. He is, again, highly respected. Bernard Lewis is probably the most respected, I would say, I'll put it this way, apologist, though he would not say of himself that he is, regarding Islam. Extremely bright and well-documented man, endorsed by the New York Times, endorsed by the Washington Post, The Economist of London, New York Post, the Seattle Times, and on it goes. Bernard Lewis, anything he writes, get your hands on. Now, this is going to be, Lord willing, one of our guest speakers. I've had a chance to twice be with him at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. This guy is a riot. I love him. Ergun Kaner is his name. And he was a Muslim, born and raised a Muslim. He and his brother. And they were converted to Jesus Christ as they were trying to share Islam in Ohio. They were trying to share Jesus to the community that they were in. And a young man rattled his cage about sin and stuff. You know, Muslims don't have much hope about how to get rid of their sins. And when Ergun saw the peace that this man had about his sins being forgiven in Jesus, he was very, very interested and began to find out about that. And Ergun Kaner and his brother wrote Unveiling Islam. It is not only a bestseller, it won the Gold Medallion Book Award. It is a fantastic book. It has this beautiful lady. She's got beautiful eyes. You can't see her face. It's called Unveiling Islam, an insider's look at Muslim life and its beliefs. This guy is telling you from the inside out what it's all about. Get Ergun Kaner's books. You guys, we're going to have him here in due time. Your life will never be the same when you hear this guy talk, because only Ergun can talk the way that he can and the way that he does. He knows exactly the Muslim mind because he has a Muslim mind that has been renewed now in Jesus. Listen to this. Ergun Kaner has been speaking. When I first met him in Dallas, at Dallas Theological Seminary last year, or a year and a half ago, he had just come from a private CIA briefing on Islam, because they are talking with him and getting into the mind of what Islam is all about. He is now I forget his position. Let me just read it to you. And his brother, a doctorate in theology, University of South Africa. He is currently professor of theology and church history at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. During his nearly two decades as a pastor, he is now a professor. Dr. Kaner has lectured on apologetics, world religions, and theology in 11 countries and has been interviewed often on CNN and BBC, among many other channels. And his brother also got converted to Christ. And his brother is now a professor of church history at Southeastern Baptist University in North Carolina. Tremendous defenders of the faith. Now these guys are great and get anything that they write. Now let's talk about where we left off last time. We'll do the very, very best we can. I ran ahead of what our graphics had, and I went in the book, by the way. Can we put it up, Faith? Let's just march through this. Do we have the cover to show the people again? Okay. Yeah, we can do that. The cover looks like this. Remember the cover? Anybody not here? Do you remember this? The cover is Across the Centuries, currently in use in most school districts, by far most school districts across the United States. And it certainly is here in the Chino Unified School District across the century, seventh grade social studies book. I'm going to ask you that if you get your hands on it online or get copies of it, maybe your child's in the seventh grade, if you'll get this book, and just for starters, you ought to go through and find out where it first mentions Islam all the way through to when it stops mentioning Islam. And you're going to laugh. I had to laugh. Because it not only mentions in the bulk of the book some over 200 pages of a 553-page book, over 200 pages, close to 280 pages are dedicated to Islam in the book. But what's interesting, when they came to the Christian section, whoever put the Christian section together, misquoted Christianity, announces in the book that all Christians revere and look to the Pope for their spiritual leader in this world. I found that highly offensive and incredibly ignorant. Because Christians do not look to the Pope as their leader. Catholics look to their Pope for their leader. And this book can't even separate the difference between Catholics and Christians, for one thing. And on it goes. It diminishes the ministry of Jesus Christ, telling in this book that he's only a prophet. That Jesus is somebody no different than Moses and no different than Abraham. But it does say that Muhammad is above all the prophets in this book. We talked about things last week as, and we identified some of the falsehoods that are in this book. That herbal technology was invented by not Arab people, it said. By the way, that wasn't true anyway. The Asians invented all that stuff, but we're not going to go there. This book rarely mentioned Arab peoples. How did it mention them? Remember as we read this book, what did it say? It didn't mention them as Arab peoples. It mentioned them as Muslim people. Muslim people. Arab people are an ethnic group of people. Muslim people are a religious group of people. But herein lies a very interesting thing. In Islam, there is no difference of that. Do you remember we're talking about a geopolitical ideology that is, has, remember if we were to look at an umbrella, you know how an umbrella has ribs like this? In Islam, don't think that Islam is just a religion. Islam has a political branch. It has a religious branch. It has a military branch in its thinking. It has an economic understanding or an economic persuasion. It has everything. That's why you saw, when you listened to here a couple of weeks ago, Noni Darwish, when she was announcing that Islam is our lives, it is our everything. We think, we do, it is all for Allah. Well, we could say, a Muslim could say the same thing about us here tonight. It's all about Jesus. Well, that's true, but big difference. We don't believe Jesus is going to come back to America or Saudi Arabia and set up some political kingdom and run it by the ways of men. The Lord's coming back to take possession of his planet, wherein dwelleth righteousness, says the Bible. And it's not a violent righteousness. We looked at the mosque. The famous mosque of Islam. Remember that? We talked about the mosque, the great Hagia Sophia. We talked about the mosque that is in Cordoba, Spain. And the Dome of the Rock Mosque, the famous Dome of the Rock Mosque. And you remember what we found out? We found out that they are all built previously before Islam. Certainly the Dome of the Rock was built previously before Islam was ever born by Byzantine ministers. It is a Byzantine building, Byzantine architecture, and there are records in antiquity, in history, that has that as a Byzantine church with a cross on the top that was simply taken down and the crescent moon of Islam was placed there. The mosque at Cordoba, Spain, same exact thing. It was first a Roman temple. And when Christianity came into Spain, it was then made a church, and it was a tremendous church. Saint Vincent's Church was its name. And then Islam came in, took down the cross, put up the crescent moon, and then tried to tell us in the book that it took about 200 years to build that beautiful building. It was already standing there. Very interesting. Over and over and over again, we read this in and saw this in this textbook. There's falsehoods in this book. If they were going to represent Christianity, they should have an expert represent Christianity on behalf of the publisher of the book. Have an expert represent Islam. Have an expert represent Christianity. They should have had an expert represent Catholicism so that they would quote this right. And over again in the book we saw, and it's very important you remember this, that this book puts a terrible, the very aggressive and merciless crusaders went out to spread Christianity, it says in this book. That is an absolute lie. And we'll say, how can you say that? Well, if you start with the First Crusade, why was the First Crusade fought in Europe? Why were there Crusades in Austria? Why were there Crusades in Turkey? And why were there Crusades in European countries? Why were there Crusades that started in Europe and kept advancing and pushing down and then stopped at Jerusalem? Did you know that? Friends, no crusade ever went beyond Jerusalem. They never went into Egypt, the crusaders. Why? Because the crusades were erected to fight Islam out of Europe. Because I want to ask you this question. What was Islam doing in Europe? The crusades were nations that got together to push the advancing militant Islam out of Europe and back to where it came from. And when the crusaders took control of Jerusalem, the Muslims went back home. You don't hear that. And this book certainly didn't teach that. Now, I'm not saying everything was sweet in the crusades. But this book was terribly slanted on that. We will go. I don't want to spend so much time. I want to get into some other things. But let me kind of peruse this, and we will. Actually, Faith, why don't you just march through that? Let's put up on the screen here whatever she's got going, and that is page 92. And will you guys just be forgiving as we go through this? I have been away for much of the week. We will march through this. Nothing's been rehearsed. Things have been marked up. But this particular page has a comment here regarding this particular thing regarding the Seljuk Turks. And it simply says here that regarding government, and the Seljuk Turks took their responsibilities as rulers very seriously. These were Muslims. And they began to govern the empire that they had conquered in the tradition of Islamic law. Does anybody know what Islamic law is? The term of that. You've heard it before. Sharia law. Again, it's what England is battling with. It's what is probably already going on in some locations in America. I think it's pretty safe to say that. Now, some of you who are in deep law enforcement, you probably are saying on the inside, dude, it is happening in some areas. I'm only guessing, but I would think places like Dearborn, Michigan, Detroit, places like that where there is a tremendous, massive Muslim population, maybe on the East Coast, maybe Virginia way and places like that. A parallel legal system, a parallel judgment, a parallel system of laws that are in operation. Of course they take it very seriously. Of course the ancient Seljuk Turks took it very seriously because it's in Islam. It has to be implemented. Now let me say this. And I'm going to try to say this nice. And I got to tell you, I just got done spending time on a mountaintop since Friday afternoon with men from this church who blessed my socks off. Ladies, you must have been praying for these men because they were fired up. I'm telling you, guys, if there's any guys from that camp that's here tonight, whatever your devotion to God was on that mountaintop, can you make sure it continues? Amen. If it continues, this community, your wife, your kids, or if you're single, your singleness will never be the same. You guys are absolutely amazing. Men, sing like you did in this church every time like you did up there. Praying for each other. Ladies, you would have been proud of our men. I'm proud of our men. It was awesome. It was incredible. It would have been great for you ladies to see that. Why did I bring that up? Because of this. Oh, I'm pumped up about the guys. And it was gloves off with the guys. They were men, and it was a great time. And girls couldn't have handled our messages, our sermons. It was not girly sermons. Okay? And so why I say that is this. We need to toughen up. America's a bunch of wimps. America's a bunch of soft wimps. By and large, thank God there's still some men and women around with some you know? And we need to nurture that. We need to get that going again. And I'm not talking about being idiots. And I'm not talking about starting a crusade either. That's not what I'm talking about. Billy Graham crusade, Harvest crusade. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that we need to start speaking out, and we need to know what we're talking about. And why am I saying that? Because some of you here tonight, I'm not going to point at you. Some of you are here tonight, and you have already articulated, I don't believe this. Because I know some Muslims, and they're very nice. I'm not saying they're not very nice. In fact, you need to pray for your Muslim friend who is so nice. You want to know why? They don't even realize it yet. Maybe they're westernized. I got news for you. You talk to Islamic experts, and if you take a westernized Muslim who's viewed by Middle Eastern Muslims as a carnal, backslidden, infidel-type Muslim, they have no value for them. If you drop your friend who's a citizen just like you are, or at least you think they are, and you drop them into Saudi Arabia, they're going to kill them because they're backslidden. They are carnal Muslims. They don't believe in they do not believe in the full Quran. They don't believe in the Quran from cover to cover. Bin Laden believes in the Quran from cover to cover. Listen, just because you have a nice friend who's a nice Muslim and you won't believe this, here's the truth about the matter. You heard experts here, and you're going to hear experts next weekend. They know more than you do about it. They know more than all of us combined about it. They came out of it. And here's what I'm saying. The reason why you don't want to hear this is because you're terrified. You are the proverbial ostrich digging the hole and sticking your head in it and saying it's all going to go away, while the lion runs up and bites you right in the butt and there's nothing left but a plume of feathers. You don't want to hear this because you want to believe that things, it's the typical American thing, and we heard it this week on the news I don't want to get off the track, but it's the mentality of it. Do you remember I told you a long time ago, Mikhail Gorbachev said, we need to take advantage, this is before the wall came down, we need to take advantage of the Americans' desire to not want to know. That was a brilliant statement of Mikhail Gorbachev. Now watch this. Have you noticed who's been dying in Moscow lately? Anybody been following that? Huh? If you are a journalist in Moscow, you don't want to be one anymore. Because the Russian bear is back. And you don't want Putin in power. Does anybody know where Vladimir Putin came from before he was president of Russia? Well, not only KGB, what was his position at the KGB? Top dog KGB. Vladimir Putin. Russia's back. The Cold War is back. I don't think it's going to be cold too long, but the Cold War is back. And anyone who criticizes the Russian government now and Vladimir Putin, have you noticed? How many are we up to now? What? It's 14? The journalists who have said, criticizing this new Iron Curtain activity, Cold War activity of Vladimir Putin, they're dead. The last guy 4 days ago was on either Nightline or Nightline or I don't know 2020, and he was speaking out about against Putin. He wasn't in Moscow though. This guy was in New York City, and they got a hold of him and they took a shotgun and blew him right between the legs, killed him dead, left him dead as a calling card. Russia's Secret Service or whoever they are, their hitmen are working in New York City. You speak out if you are in the news and you speak out against Vladimir Putin, you're going to die. And this journalist that they were interviewing, this guy had guts. He was on Fox News this week and he said, listen here, everybody. Oh, the guy goes, I'm sorry, not whatever I said, Glenn Beck's program. He was on Glenn Beck's program and Glenn Beck said, aren't you scared? And he said, yeah, I'm scared. The guy, this particular journalist, lives in New York. He's the bureau chief for a Russian newspaper. He said, yes, I'm scared. He says, you know what scares me more? That Americans don't want to believe this is happening, but Russia's back. He said, this is a Russian telling Americans they don't want to believe that Russia is back. We don't want to hear that stuff. Pastor, don't tell me those things. Listen, regarding Islam, it's here. A couple of you, and I wish some men would ask me this, but I've been getting asked by too many women, what can we do about this? You listen next Sunday and the Sunday after. We had to add an extra week because of Bridget. Stay tuned. We're going to give you websites that's going to make you sick. We're going to have to print them up and hand them out. There's just too many of them, okay? We'll be ready for you. But we're going to start letting our school district, and we're going to start letting Sacramento know. We're going to start shaking the cage. And we are not going to pick a fight, although there are some big guns behind us saying they want us to pick a fight. We won't pick a fight, but there are some legal institutions that are nationwide that are saying, come on, we're waiting for you guys to get in some trouble because they want to make it public in California. And I don't have the time to go to court for the rest of my life. But there are some tremendous, wonderful legal powers that are saying, we've had enough of this, and we're looking for litigation to get this into the news and front and center. And by the way, that desire is all the way, I can tell you with absolute fact, because I've spoken to such people who have heard this. They are watching and listening, hoping that something comes out of this. Now, again, I am not in the mood to pick a fight. This is a church family meeting. I don't care to speak outside of those walls about this topic. So this is very serious stuff. But listen, as we continue along, I guess, you know, let's go to page 95, Faith. I have lost count of which Quranic verse now this is. Do you see under Islamic Spain, there is there another verse quoted from the Quran. Again and again and again throughout this public textbook that we have paid to be printed over and over and over again. The statement there regarding Islamic Spain, the Great Mosque of Cordoba, Spain, described in a closer look on page 97, was begun in 786 by Abdurrahman. The mosque, completed nearly 200 years later in 976, was a religious, social, and educational center. Lie. Boldface lie. It was there before they ever showed up. It's before Islam ever conquered Spain. The building was there. Absolutely wrong. We talked about that earlier. The next page, it just continues through regarding the mosque. These things are highlighted right here because in this particular page of page 96, it says, during his reign of Rahman III, increased the strength of his army. The caliph brought Scandinavian, African, and German slaves to serve in his forces. That's key. I left my pointer back in the somewhere. It's on the left-hand page, just above that mountaintop. It's in brackets in yellow. That is an interesting, in my thinking, it's an interesting little slip that they let out. The Muslim religious leaders brought Scandinavian, African, and German slaves to serve in his forces. You gotta remember, we mentioned this before. Please go see the movie Amazing Grace. Go see the movie Amazing Grace. I don't know why it's not being huge in Hollywood. Why? It's a fantastic movie. I don't know why. It's not even a Christian movie, as far as I know. It's just a historical event. I tell you, I'm not going to tell you that. Forget that. But go see the movie. Because they talk about and show you the horrific slave trade market of the African blacks. Listen, they were brought onto ships in from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli and Alexandria, North Africa, Muslim-controlled regions. The Muslims went out, lassoed all these black people who were living in beautiful harmony with themselves and enjoying life. They were rounded up, taken as slaves throughout North Africa, brought to those three cities, and they were bound up, and they were sold to the American and European slave traders, and they were put on 18-inch high, 5.5 feet long trays, totally naked, and they stacked them, some ships up to 300 slaves per ship, and they left those shores for Europe and for America. Almost half of those in the ship died en route. You have to see the movie. Make you sick. You know what's weird about this? Why is it that there are so many precious... I may be white on the outside, but I am black on the inside. I want you to know that. I love our black brothers and sisters. I love them. I love them. But you know what? If I had a beef right now, I would say, I want Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton right here, and I want Obama, whatever. I want him here, and I want these people who are spokesmen to go after the originators of the slave trade market. Where are they? The Muslims started the slave trade markets. The Europeans and the Americans, and people will say, well, you know, they wouldn't have bought them if there wasn't a market for them. The conditions. You need to read and you need to see this movie and you need to get into how horrific that these poor slaves in North Africa were told to either submit to Islam, Allah, lose your head or your hands or your feet, or maybe we can get money off of you. And they were selling them to not only Europeans, they were selling them to other Muslim nations or Muslim tribes and peoples. You don't hear about that. You don't hear about it. You just hear these wicked, wicked, terrible Americans and Europeans buying these black slaves. Question, who was selling them? Who round them up for sale? Another thing is, isn't it interesting that the Muslim leadership took slave of Scandinavians? Man, if you wanted a white slave, that's about as white as you can get. A Scandinavian? German? Africans? Thank you. Think about it. Thanks a lot. Think about that. Islam takes people captive. It's not stopped. It's still happening today. If you have the stomach, I do not let kids see this. Has anyone seen The Invisible Children? Have you seen it? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Get your hands on it. The Invisible Children. It's about Sudan. Three rich kids from the U.S. went to go goof off in the Sudan. They took a video camera. It's unbelievable. Muslim warlords chase these kids all night long, trying to find them and making them into war slaves. They take the kids and they give them guns and they enlist them into their armies and then they make them kill. This is happening right now. And what they do is when they come into an area, they pursue the children at night. So the kids, their lives, they eat off the land. The kids hide at night in places where they can go. And these three kids with the video camera link up with these kids and travel with them during the night. These kids have got guts, man, I'm telling you. And they're with these kids, and it's absolutely tragic. It is real life stuff. And then in the day, They keep moving, and then at night they sleep and they hide the best they can. Because why? These Muslim warlords capture these kids, and here's what they do. And this one kid, you just have to see it. They take them, they get his brother, and they get the brothers, and they're like this. Okay, here you go. They hand him an AK-47, and okay, whoever kills the other one, the winner's in our army. Go. Kills his brother. Oh, good. Now you're in the army. They mutilate bodies to desensitize the kids, enlist them into war, and these government officials of the Sudan are trying to convince the United Nations. They're saying, listen to us. These kids follow this Islamic terrorism that this Islamic presence has brought into our country. And what is going on is these kids are so desensitized, and they're little kids. They're 15, 13 years old, and we've got our troops there, and we don't know who to shoot or whatever because the kid is an absolute murderer, killer. And you see this little 13-year-old coming, and the guy's a killer. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable things. Slavery. You say, well, that's just really remote and radical stuff. Please, please read world history. learn about the Barbary Coast of North Africa. You guys, this book, maybe we should just kind of open things up for discussion or something. Can you guys see the tags on this? Well, there's no way we're going to get through this. It's not even, and we didn't get to the back of the thing. Here's a great one. Page 173. Page 173 says, Jews and Muslims were tolerated in the Islamic Empire. They were not forced to convert to Islam, but they did have to pay taxes. That's not true. They had to pay taxes, and they were forced to convert, or they died. It's a historical fact. It's not mentioned in this book. Slaves played a great unique role in the Ottoman Empire, Muslim Empire, Turkish, or Ottoman Empire. Many different ethnic groups were slaves, Africans, Eastern Europeans, especially Russians. Slaves. To be the slave of the Sultan was a mark of honor. Gosh, sign me up. They were considered the emperor's personal slaves. They could be trusted, they were loyal, and with no other claims of allegiance, they swore their allegiance to the Sultan. They just loved to do that, I'm sure. From the early 1500s to the following, of the 150 years after, high-ranking women held great political power. The Arabic word for harem means sanctuary or sacred place. To a Muslim, a harem referred to the women and the private quarters of a family that were their private domain. That's nice. I like that. That sounds nice. While Western European countries were, I'm on page 174. While Western European countries were persecuting and expelling the Jews, the Ottomans welcomed them. Some Jews held positions of great power, and by 1553, the Ottoman city of Salonika had some 20,000 Jews as slaves. Jews were court physicians. They ran the printing presses. They carried, I wonder what it means to, they carried international trade. They probably actually carried international trade. But have you noticed though how, and I'm just hitting things that are highlighted, slave, slavery, slave, over and over again. Let's just keep skipping ahead. You guys, I don't really want to spend time this thing. Pipe's website to read more about this book. Okay? Does that help you? Daniel Pipe, I don't know Daniel Pipe if he's a Christian or a Satanist. I don't know anything about his religiosity. I didn't vouch for that part. I said, go to his website and read about this book. So you send me an email and you say, the guy is like crazy when it comes to theology. I'm not endorsing his theology. Sheesh. Here's a picture of the Christian Crusader. Faith, it's page 298. We started in page 42. We're in page 298. And you say, yeah, but thank God. We've come to the Christian part. All right. Just wait. There's the Crusader guy. And this is really cool, because remember, Crusaders came to push back Islam to where it came from, okay? It's kind of nice. The pebble, see that pebble? This is pebble, and I'll read it to you. And it kind of personifies the guy, makes him real life for us. He picked his stone off the floor of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Filled with good luck, it's very precious to our knight. Okay? That's right here. He's got his stones there. Okay, that's nice. His sword, right here. On his return trip, he has been attacked by German townspeople who think he might rob or kill them, as some knights have done. Well, how come it didn't say some of the knights were Germans? How do we know this? Who were those knights that attacked these poor little villagers? But it just says it. It sure didn't say that about that one picture we saw last week of the nice Muslim scholar sitting down at his table, taking care of his family and paying his bills. No, it represents the Christian as some kind of a nutcase if he is even, in fact, a Christian. I know he's got a lot of crosses on him, but you can eat it in and out all day long. It doesn't make you a hamburger. It just makes you fat. Look at this. This is a great one. See this right here? A letter near Jerusalem, a commander near Jerusalem wrote this letter to the king of northern Germany. Our knight cannot read the letter. Poor dummy, he can't read it. See this? Bandage. A knight's arrow has wounded our crusader. Dressed with a sophisticated ointment that soothes him, it is applied by an Islamic doctor. Thank God. Okay, let's get to the Christian part and we're going to end it. We don't have graphics for this. We never made it. Can I? I'm going to have to show you the European Renaissance. Come to the Christian section. The Scientific Revolution. And I don't know why they didn't talk about the church any earlier than the 1500s, but here's what it says. Oh, yeah, okay. Can you do that? How close can you come? What's that glorious title there? Not Christianity builds more universities and orphanages and places of higher education than any place on the planet, including Harvard, Yale, and Cornell, and Princeton universities. No, it's the decline of church authority. So what does it talk about? It talks about how corrupt the Catholic Church is in this book. What's right here? Corruption within the church. That topic right there, corruption within the church. Did you know this? The church draws its authority from the people's faith. The church draws its authority from the people's faith. Well, that's pretty amazing. I wish I would have known that before we got this church going. Talks about the life of Martin Luther, and that's great. It goes on and on through this book about division and about the church's decline in authority, that the church sold people. Now look, this is absolutely true. It talks about the church selling indulgences so they can build their buildings. That's right. You could pay in advance. You could say, I want to have adultery with somebody. And you'd go to the Catholic priest and you'd give $50. And you can go have your adulterous time. That's how they built St. Peter's Basilica. You know that? You ever been there? There was a lot of adultery going on by the looks of St. Peter's Basilica. That was the indulgences that were sold. But you guys, it clumps the conduct of certain epochs of time of the Catholic Church in with all who believe in Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's pretty offensive. I'm going to encourage you, please, and it's probably better for you anyway, to look at the segment or the section that we'll just call for in our argument the church section. It's extremely small. It wanes in comparison to the hundreds of pages given to Islam. And what Daniel Pipes said at his website was there is a disdain for Christianity in the book, and it reports Islam in the book only, exclusively in glowing terms. And that is a fact of the review of the book. Now, with the time that we have, some of you have said some things to me on the way. Oh, yeah, your book, too. We want to mention your book, but...
I also did my homework assignment.
Yes.
You said to research the publisher of that book.
Yes.
On the internet?
Yes.
And it goes from an Irish publisher who is owned by the country of Dubai.
Correct. Thank you for doing your homework. Thank you for your homework. By the way, you have an excellent book here that we want to make sure that you all add to your book list to bite. To bite. Am I hungry or what? A Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. Spectacular work by Robert Spencer. Get this book. Excellent work. Robert Spencer is a world-renowned expert on Islam. Get the book. It is again entitled Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. You think you know about Islam, but did you know this? And he goes on in the book. Read it. It's not that big of a book.
This top part here, recommendation by the Islamists.
May Allah rip out. Oh, is this about Robert Spencer? This is what they wrote about him? I didn't see that. This is from the author of revivingislam.com. That's got to be a joyous website. Revivingislam.com. This is what he said about the book. Makes me want to buy thousands of copies. May Allah rip out his spine from his back and split his brains in two, and then put them both back, and then do it over and over again. Amen. That is from the author of revivingislam.com.
Very intelligent.
Peace be upon you. Listen, last week on the way out of here, I this is so fantastic, I have a hard time believing it's true. Ontario Unified School District. Anybody have any kids in the Ontario Unified School District? Raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody. Couple. Oh, golly. Okay. Okay. Maybe the young lady is here tonight. Is this true? Hard to believe. She said that her child was told by her teacher, in fact, the entire class was told, that if, in this class, if you will go to a mosque and talk to the imam, you'll get even more credit for your class.
Yes, my daughter.
This is your daughter?
Seventh grade.
Canyon Hills Junior High. That's Chino Unified School District.
Yes.
Anyone else have anything to say about this particular topic? Anybody can back that up? Is that young lady here again? There's hand.
It's a different young lady.
No, go ahead.
Okay, my boys at Briggs, the same thing.
Briggs Elementary?
Yes.
Same thing required there?
Okay, so seventh grade. Offered extra credit.
Don, aren't you a teacher?
Yes.
You're at Ayala. They were off. She's a school teacher. They were offered extra credit if they went to a mosque. They would get more credit. Another hand in the back. Oh, you have to talk louder, and it's important what you're saying.
When I was in seventh grade, my teacher offered me extra credit if I would go to a mosque.
Her teacher offered her extra credit if she would go to a mosque because she's a student.
Yes.
Any kind of credit at all to come to Calvary? Anything? We can't. Hand way in the back. Stand up if you could. Is that Lauren? Hi, Lauren. What school? Canyon Hills, is that junior or high school?
Junior high.
Student from Canyon Hills Junior High, her and her class had to wear the Muslim headdresses during the class for the course for extra credit. Makes you want to get a t-shirt and silkscreen, a big cross on it. That probably would start a riot. Yes.
My daughter's teacher told her they'd get extra credit if they went to see Amazing Grace.
What? Wow. Her school teacher's kids,
eighth grade,
what school? Canyon Hills said, if her kids, is that legal? Is that great? I sure hope so. If her kids would go see Amazing Grace, because it's so historically accurate, at least that's historically accurate, they would get extra credit. Thank God for whoever that teacher is. Anybody else? This is wild. I feel like Phil Donahue here. you. Is Lawrence here tonight? What happened to Lawrence? Uh-oh, apparently it wasn't very good. Is he cuffed or what? Remember Lawrence last week? Was anybody know anything? Wait. He didn't lose his job. Remember, Lawrence, you guys, was in trouble with the Chino Unified Schools District for having Bibles or handing out Bibles in his class. Oh, L.A. County.
And he was also told not to say anything anymore.
Sorry. L.A. County. He was told not to speak anymore in Jesus' name. I read that somewhere.
But he was going to go 27 feet off the premises to hand out the Bible.
But he was going to go like the Gideons, 27 feet off the premises?
Yeah.
Get that stinking Bible out of the class. It could hurt somebody. Unbelievable. And so he wound up what? Wow, perfect. He gave a Bible to a kid. The kid wanted the Bible. And Donna, did I understand you right? The school did not want the kid to have the Bible? They took the Bible from the kid. Yeah, but communists knew that they were living under communism. So God's moving. He's not allowed to pray in Jesus' name in the school, but just remember this. In this textbook, you are taught to pray to Allah, and it's even written down so you can memorize the prayer to Allah. That doesn't bother me because there's nobody listening. That's a great question. How many of your school teachers? Don't be shy. We love you, man. You guys are on the front line. You guys, can we pray for you right now? Let's just pray. Father, we ask you to bless our school teachers, Lord. Father, they're living in a tough world because we know a little bit about how controlling it is regarding their retirement and their income and all of that. It's almost, in a way, I mean, it's almost cult-like in a sense, where the benefits are so tremendous and all these things are there. And yet, Lord, on top of it, these precious people have a heart to teach and to bless kids. Father, we are learning that the educational system, from the K to the university system, is a bastion for false doctrine. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Father, to fill our teachers with your Holy Spirit. And Lord God Almighty, that you would turn, begin to cause a great people to rise up. People who see that there's a great problem. And Lord, that this tide would begin to turn. Lord, you are real. You are our God, the author of the Bible. And we pray that you would just send, Lord, the enemy force back to where it came from. Father, bless these people. Lord, may we never stop praying for our school teachers. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anyone else? This is, okay, yeah.
I had four kids go into that Noah Junior High. They never went, they studied out of the book, but never touched Islam at all.
Yeah, you know, you asked the question, doesn't the teachers have jurisdiction over what they teach out of this? Can someone answer that? Because I don't know that. I don't know how to answer that. Teachers, can you neglect or push off some of these things? Yeah.
My daughter is in seventh grade at Canyon Hills Junior High, and her teacher absolutely refused to use this book this year.
Seriously, and do we know what's become of the teacher?
They were given a totally different book on CD.
At what school?
At Canyon Hills.
At Canyon Hills High, her seventh grade daughter's teacher refuses to use this book. God bless that teacher. I don't want to get into names. I don't want to give names. I can't do that right now. Someone had a hand.
Oh.
God knows her name. His name? Her name? God knows. Yes, in the way back. Nice and loud. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's a fact. Well, she hit the nail on the head. Let me tie this together here. What happened to your sister in Fontana? Was it Fontana? Fontana. What happened to your sister in Fontana? Those of you who were here last week, and I don't know where everybody else is at, but this place was packed last week. Maybe the loss of 1 hour just really whacked them out. You guys, do you remember what we showed you last week of, and I always botch this up, Costa Contra County? Contra Costa County in Northern California. I think it's called Byron Unified School District, if I got that name right. You can read about this online. It's in the news. There's a battle going on because of what you just said. I didn't know what happened in Fontana. During a 6 weeks, month and a half time in the course, your child assumed a Muslim name, was talked, spoke using that name, wore the clothes, ate. They would get extra credit if they ate Middle Eastern food, and of course going to the mosque, all of those play role things. And Daniel Pipes and others are saying this is Islamic discipleship. When you're memorizing the Quran, and when you're memorizing five verses of the Quran, and you are plotting, remember last week we showed you the plotting of whatever town you're in? If you're in Chino Hills, you are to plot your course on the Hajj to Mecca to worship Allah. How are you going to get there? How much is it going to cost? How much do you have to pack? They have to work all of this out in their class. It's absolutely amazing. Now, she just says what's going on in Contra Costa County is the same thing that's going on at this Fontana school. You guys, how did this ever happen? I'm setting you up. How did this ever happen? What? He says we didn't vote. Buried our heads? Asleep. Anything else? No outcry. Apathy. Can I come this far, Stephen? Can I? Am I right? Anybody else? Tolerance. That's a devilish word. Political correctness is worse than modern day tolerance. Took God out of the schools? What else? Prayer out of the schools. Ten Commandments out of the school. Bible out of the school. Mothers out of the home. It's powerful. What else? Oh, good job. That's what Sir Edmund Burke said. This young lady said, good people refuse to do anything about it. What's that?
Passivity.
Apathy. Anything else?
Money.
Ostracized from what? People are afraid of being ostracized. Ostracized from what? I love it. I love it. I love what she's saying. People are afraid to be ostracized if they speak out. Ostracized from whom? From the community.
Our families.
Why would that matter if you are standing for what is right? Here's the problem. Either A, we don't know what's right, or we know what's right, but we're not willing to do what's right. So we have been a complete different generation. Is Bob Baker here tonight? Oh, I know Bob's here tonight. Bob Baker and his wife, they're of the greatest generation that we affectionately call in America, that World War II generation. Kids who wanted to play and goof off and shoot ducks and goof off on the farm and maybe go into the big city and see what's going on were swept away in a foreign war. And our men and women had to grow up in minutes. And they learned something. America was fairly, extremely humble back then. You might even say everyone lived in some sort of poverty. There were some rich people, the Vanderbilts and others, and that kind of, not the Canadians, the Kennedys. All that kind of stuff. This generation grew up in minutes because Bob and thank God there's about four other World War II veterans that attend this church. There's not very many left. And they learned how to stand for something. You know what? I don't know if you guys caught it, but Serge Trekhorov, in one of the he's an Islamic expert, said, I do believe in miracles. However, what's concerning about the West is that no one will die for and stand up for and defend a humanistic, easy, pacifist life. You won't defend it because it's not valuable enough. And when push comes to shove, you know it's not valuable enough. You will not die, for example. Skin for skin, Satan said, a man will give anything to save his own skin. Satan said that. And he's right. It's in the Bible. Check this out. You will not fight to the death for your house. I'm talking about your physical home. You will not fight for your death to protect your physical house. You better fight to the death to protect your family. You will not die to protect your Corvette. Or your boat. You will not die for your boat. If you die for your boat, you are one sick, twisted freak. Okay? This is America today. This is America today. We have so much stuff that it's killed us. We are in love with Xboxes and iPods. We are in love with wide plasma screen TV. None of these are evil. But we don't, you can have those things, but do you have something else worth dying for? Go ahead and get your 9,000 inch square TV. God bless you. But do you have something worth dying for? Bob went to war because freedom was worth dying for. America does not know what freedom is. We've lost it. Freedom is so awesome and powerful and beautiful that if you believe in it, because by the way, let's make this clear. God gives freedom, puts it in your heart. You want it. It's in the heart of man. It's universal. You either have freedom or you have tyranny. Anything that's outside of those two things, it's in transition to one or the other. It's going somewhere towards freedom or towards tyranny. This is human, this is history. What do you have in your life worth dying for? Let me tell you this. You listen real careful and you go buy a Quran. Buy the right one though. You got to buy the one that's approved by I can't even say his name, but you can contact the church office and buy the one that's approved in English. This one's both in English and Arabic with commentaries. Buy a Quran and start reading it. Pray first and then read it. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. When someone's sick or dying in the hospital or someone's marriage is falling apart, you will never see them pick up a Quran for comfort. They'll reach for the Bible. Why? Because the human heart longs for freedom and longs for answers. And I got news for you. You read this book, and there is nothing in this book worth dying for. There is no Allah worth dying for. It is absolutely sick. Do you believe in something bigger than yourself? If you don't, you have a very small life. When people fight for freedom, I thank God, and you know I do. I love our law enforcement personnel. You know what? They fight for stuff that we so have taken for granted that we turn and fight against those who are fighting for us. When our officers are trying to enforce something, we sue them. It's absolutely unreal. When our troops go to war to defend freedom, freedom should know no borders. We shouldn't be in Iraq. I understand your emotion and your feeling. And listen, there's a woman here who paid the ultimate price with her son. I understand that. Nobody loves war. Who in the world is going to go embrace war? But there comes a time. And I thank God for George Washington and others. I thank God for the King of Poland back in 1600s. When they say, you know what, here's the reality. If we don't stop them over there, then we're going to fight them at our porch. Some of you, and I know some of you in the church this size, there's some of you that, we've had some talks, by the way, and I love you, and you know I love you. But your thought is this: I don't believe in any aggression whatsoever. First of all, we're not living in Disneyland here. None of us want aggression. But just like Abraham Lincoln, have you been to the Lincoln Memorial? When you walk up to Big Abe, turn right and read his second inaugural address. And right down there, about three quarters of the way down, it says right there, I'm for peace, but my enemy is bent on war. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do when you want peace, but your enemy is bent on war? What are you going to do? Are you going to think a happy thought? This is going to go away. 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 It's not going to go away. So watch this. You have a bad man who wants to kill you. He just says, I want to kill you. Remember, his name is Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He's the president of Iran. He says, I want to kill you. I want to kill Jews first, and then I want to kill Americans. That's what I want to do. All right. Let's pretend. Don't get upset with me. Let's just pretend. Let's turn our face and not listen to that. Turn on Everybody Loves Raymond. I don't want to hear that. Our eyes get glazed. Our jaw falls. And we are amused. Do you know what amuse means? Not muse. Amuse. Amuse is opposite of muse. If we're going to muse right now in the Bible, it would be like this. The Bible is God's love letter to us. It's God's word to us. We can take it, we can stand on it, because you can prove it to be true. When the Bible talks about countries, it talks about nations, and we look at history and things have happened. Prophecy's true in the Bible. Jesus died on the cross. The Bible said he was going to. That's musing. To amuse, ready? Amuse, here it is. That's to amuse. Why do you think we have amusement parks? It means to unplug from reality. Do Americans love amusement? We spend billions of dollars on it every year. I even have my own little amusement pass card to the happiest place on earth until you have to pay for the annual pass. You guys, here's the thing. Where do you stop your enemy? Right now, thank God, we're at the stage where we can stop them in the ballot box. We can stop them by petitioning senators and congressmen. We can contact the Department of Homeland Security. We can contact the FBI. We can write letters to, is it Mueller? Robert Mueller. We can write letters to other people. We can write letters to presidents and vice presidents and whosoever's. We still have some freedom. Above all things, you guys, you know this. And how many of us prayed for Lawrence last week and listened to this great report that's coming out? Thank you, Jesus. Listen, we can pray anytime, 24/7. Our God is always on. Remember that. You guys, we are fighting against a geopolitical ideology that in reality, I'm talking spiritual reality, does not exist. In spiritual reality does not exist. other than doctrines of demons, as Paul talked about in 1 Timothy 4, and we'll end here pretty soon. 1 Timothy 4, I read it to you at the start. Doctrines of demons who have embraced this, their conscience have become seared. The part that bothers me most about all of this is that have we brought this on ourselves not by our foreign policy? That is a big lie. That's just to get you to back off from supporting Israel, the only democracy in the region. You know what hurts the most? Is that maybe America has brought on the judgment of God by its horrible conduct. We are the number one pornographic producing nation in the world. And sad to say, the city of Northridge, California is the number one pornographic producing city in the entire world. In the entire world. The city of Northridge. We've asked God to get out of school. He did. We ask God to get out of our courts, and we've got idiots as judges who are currently, a little 10-year-old kid is being prosecuted for a friend of his dared him to pull the plastic guard off of an alarm pad. You know an alarm pad? You know you have to lift the plastic guard, then pull the alarm? He didn't even pull the alarm. Granted, stupid kid, 10 years old, his friend says, I bet you can't pull that plastic thing off. 10-year-old kid pulled off. He didn't set the alarm off. He just pulled it off. Some teachers saw him do it. And the kid now, he was on the news Friday night. The kid stands to go to juvenile jail, prison, or whatever it is. Juvenile, what's it called? Juvenile hall for 1 year. For 1 year. But our Border Patrol agents shoot a drug-smuggling illegal alien in the butt. They're in prison for how long? 7 years? 10 years? In other words, they're in prison they never should have been. Guess what? That illegal alien who got shot in the butt, drug smuggler, he's suing us. He's going to get millions. Listen, we're sick. The Bible says, woe, 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 when men call good evil and evil good. It's absolutely nuts that Michael Newdow can say, whose wife and child go to Calvary Chapel. Michael Newdow, you know who he is? He's the guy that says, I want In God We Trust off the money, and I want the Pledge of Allegiance taken out. Well, you know, it does offend him. I remember when America was the rule of the majority. We used to vote. And our judges, oh, you guys, we got to end this. You've got to go to Washington, D.C., Did you know it's in the Constitution that the Supreme Court, did you know that the President of the United States can fire the Supreme Court at any moment without notice? He doesn't have to consult Congress. That's in the Constitution. Would that ever happen? No way. Did you know that the Supreme Court is only to be called upon for decisions like Solomon was to called upon when they couldn't figure anything out? They would call for their legal expertise? And did you know, help me out, Lisa, do you remember this, that they were only long enough to serve, they were only long enough to, I think, to serve 6 months or 9 month terms in the original Supreme Court. Now they made it life for themselves. Get a book called Judicial Tyranny. It's incredible. But you'll learn that in the Washington tour when we go to D.C. Huh? What? Oh, the D.C. thing's full. Sorry, you guys should have come to first service last week. You guys are crazy people. We filled up two buses by the time halfway through second service got filled up. There's a waiting list. Anyway, okay. Wow. Next Sunday, bring everybody you can. I don't care if we have to have people. We don't have balconies here, but we'll put them somewhere. By the way, we can put seats in the courtyard, and we have a sound system out there. They can listen to her that way. Yes, quickly, in the very back, way loud. Oh my, I can't hear that at all. We can't hear you. Can someone repeat what she just said? Oh. Wow. Did anybody get Jacob? Was anybody here at? You know, Jacob Prash teaches different messages all the time. Whatever one we used as the master, he spoke about abortion. That's that. Every ancient pagan religion, by the way, every ancient pagan religion had child sacrifice. Moloch, Remphan, Dagon, the pagan gods of the ancient Assyrians and Babylonians. Excuse me, even some forms of Egyptian worship. They would create idols that would consume little children, newborn children. We've ministered on the island of Molokai in Hawaii. Don't go there. Have you ever been there? It's insane, sick world. No one vacations in Molokai. They dedicate their firstborn child to the pagan gods of the Polynesian world. It's scary there. Child sacrifice. The United States has sacrificed. Zell Miller told us this last year. Some of us were together that day when he spoke to us. 47 million abortions since 1973 in Roe versus Wade. And what he, as a senator at the time, he's now since retired, what he said in their Senate subcommittee meeting was that they had just woken up. It just dawned on the United States Senate. We killed an entire tax base. Of course they thought of that, tax base. We killed an entire, what he said, we killed an entire tax base generation. We lost future soldiers. And we completely destroyed those who would have paid into the Social Security system for the future. Abortion has turned out to be a political disaster for the United States. But we haven't started to reap yet from the political problem. That's coming. It's total disaster for America. It has to be. There's no way. We can't. That's why we need illegal aliens to come across the border to the tune of 20 plus million to get the economies, keep it going, because we killed the workforce. And do you think, have you ever read anything in the Bible where God says, I'm not going to judge a nation who kills children? No. He says, I will destroy a nation that kills children. The only hope for the United States is in this room and in other churches and in places where people will cry to God, who said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That's what has to happen. There's no hope except that happened. Next week, be here. About every police force in the universe apparently will be here. And I don't want you to be scared by that. She's got major death threats on her life. People want her dead. And you'll see why. Oh, she's an absolute lady. Don't get me wrong. But she knows her stuff. And so we're going to be very honored. We are blessed by the Lord to have her come in. Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for these precious people of this church, Lord God, that I just pinch myself, that I get to wake up and be the pastor of this church. I pray that you'd bless them, Lord. Comfort their families. Bless their marriages. Lord, the great thing, many great things that we enjoy about you, one of them is whatever's been wrong in the past doesn't have to be wrong anymore because you're that great. So, Lord, whatever's going on in our lives, if it's a broken relationship, if it's fear, if it's worry, if it's maybe work stress or challenges or strife, Lord, to who gets to the top first stuff. If it's our finances, and I know many of these here tonight, their sons are in harm's way. Lord, we lift it up to you now. And if there's anybody in this building that does not personally know the opposite of the message of Islam, the opposite of the Quran, which is the Bible and the love of God for them, that they would know that the Bible says that by the works of righteousness shall no man be justified, that all of our good deeds are as nothing before the Lord. And that's a beautiful thing if we'll humble ourselves, because we all get to come at the same level, the level of the cross, and to say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I've sinned. And I ask you to make all that we've talked about, to make you, your gospel, your forgiveness, meaning, purpose, hope, and all, and heaven. Lord, make that true in my life. I don't want to be some church weirdo. I don't want to be some religious nut. But I do want Jesus. Lord, that's what we want. And we ask you, Father, to do that in our lives. And anyone who's here today, Lord, seize them, grab them, hug them, smooch them the way that you do it, Lord. You're so amazing. Don't let them sleep tonight. Cause them to toss and turn until they say, yes, Jesus. Father, bless Brigitte Gabriel, wherever she is in the world right now. Keep her safe, her family. Touch her husband, Charles, who was injured recently. We ask you, Father, that you'd bring her here safely. And Lord, that there would be no event, that there would be no incident, that she would actually feel at home here. And Lord, that you would put upon her heart. And she would feel so relaxed that she could share things maybe that she has never shared before. We've read her book, it's great, but Lord, may she just feel at home. And may she be able to leave here next Sunday night saying, you know what? I didn't see any stained glass. I didn't see any of that. I didn't see this or whatever, or hype or statues or whatever. I saw the love of God in people's lives. May that be true. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.